In chapter number 22 this morning, Joshua in chapter number 22. Again, it is good to be back here with you, and I trust that each and every one of you have been doing well. It's good to see some new faces that we did not meet the last time that we were here. Looking forward to getting to know you just a little bit this week, and I'd encourage you, not as Brother Smart said a little while ago, it's not because Chris Dallas or William Davis or Jeff Fugit are coming to town, but the Word of God is going to be preached, and we are to be where the Word of God is going to be proclaimed. And these next few nights, I'd encourage you to be here in your place under the preaching of the Word of God. And maybe there's some of you that are new, or maybe there's some of you that maybe it scares you a little bit to think, man, we're going to have two long-winded preachers preaching each service starting tonight. No, we're not long-winded at all. Brother Davis and I, if we start church tonight at 6, we'll be through no later than about 7:30. And then when Preacher and I are here Monday and Tuesday night, if we start at 7, we'll be through at 8:30. And my preaching messages are like a stick of bologna. I can just cut them off anywhere I need to, amen. And so I understand that I'm preaching to a bunch of hardworking people that got to get up the next day. We're not going to keep you long, but we are going to preach the Word of God to you. We'll give you our word to do that. And it's the Word of God that changes lives, amen. And so we'd encourage you to be here in these services. Joshua chapter number 22 this morning, and I was asked, I guess, 4 or 5 weeks ago. We have a camp there out of our church in Lexington, the Circle C Baptist Ranch, and we have teenagers and junior age kids that come all summer long. Then we also have 1 week of family camp, and I was asked to preach a service there a few weeks ago and to preach a message specifically on the family, and I preached on the home there that day. But as a result of that message, the Lord has just made me think more and more about that special place called home. How many of you like home? Amen. I love home. I love home. And how many of you, when you first got married, you inherited some furniture from maybe a family member or from a friend? How many of you inherited some furniture? I did as well. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on this next question, because that family member that gave you that furniture may be in here. But I don't know about you, but the furniture that I inherited was a bunch of junk. Amen. It really was. It was a bunch of junk. My wife tells me that the bed wasn't sagging until I started sleeping on it, but it was sagging a whole lot longer before I got it. But anyway, I just received a bunch of junk. And so probably the first 7 or 8 years of Nikita and I got married and traveling in evangelism, the worst night's sleep that I was getting was in my own home. And I was getting a better night's sleep in a motel room than I was in my own home. And I am from Mississippi, and don't hold that against me. And so we're always accused of being a little bit slower, and I was a little bit slower to realize that you big dummy, you don't have to get your worst night's sleep at home. You can go get you a good mattress as well. And so we started saving up our nickels and dimes, and we bought a nice mattress. And I can say that my best night's sleep is at home, and I'm thankful for that. And I've had the privilege of being able to be in the Smarts, the home right here next door to the church. And I've been there in their home many times, and always enjoy that time of fellowship, and always enjoy just the good, clean laughter in their home. And I'm thankful for all the opportunities that I've been able to spend in their home. But I made my mind up a long time ago. I'm not going to enjoy myself in somebody else's home more than I am my own home. And I'm thankful that we can come to church. And boy, I'm telling you, from the first congregational song to that choir special to the young ladies singing a little while ago, I've already had revival down deep inside my soul today because of the good, godly songs that we've heard today. And I'm thankful that we can come to this set-apart place called church, and we can have a little bit of heaven on earth right here at church. But I'm thankful that this is not the only place that we can have a little bit of heaven on earth, amen. I'm thankful that we can have a little bit of heaven on earth even in our own home. And so I want to talk to us this morning and want to preach this message on home sweet home, amen. Joshua chapter number 22, stand with me if you would as we take reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Joshua in chapter number 22. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, Ye have kept all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your hearts and with all your soul." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And Lord, we certainly again thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, we thank you for saving us and being so good to us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Maranatha Baptist Church. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, these days have been set aside, Lord, for us to come and meet with you. And dear God, I pray, Lord, that you would grant our request, and Lord, that you would come down and meet with us in a special way. And Lord, we could all say that the Lord indeed come to meet with us. And dear God, I pray, Lord, today, Lord, that you would, Lord, speak to hearts, Lord, like you can. I pray that you'd bring conviction where conviction is needed. You'd encourage, discourage, lift up the brokenhearted. And most of all, I pray, Lord, there'd be somebody in the sound of my voice that does not know you as their Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In your precious name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Home, sweet home. It's been said that peace is another name for home. I thought about myself when I read this statement. It said, one man said, "How often have I lain beneath rain on a strange roof, thinking of home?" Another person said it like this: "Maybe the best part of going on vacation is just coming back home." And I think Dorothy said it best: "There's no place like home." Only the gray hairs know what I'm talking about today when I say that. We find here in our text that the west side of Jordan have been conquered and divided. The 2.5 tribes who were the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half-tribe of Manasseh, they have faithfully fought at the side of their brethren now for more than 7 years. They've left their loved ones on the east side of Jordan to go and fight the Canaanites on the west side. Their obligation in helping the other tribes conquer Canaan was first stated by Moses. The Bible says they did all that Moses had decreed. We find that these soldiers, they conformed completely to Moses' orders. They were men of their word, for they had told Moses, "Thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth." Now, in verse number 1 of our text, we find that Joshua is commending these 2.5 tribes for not only obeying the instructions of Moses, but also obeying his instructions as well. We find that Joshua's praise to these soldiers is like Christ's praise to his soldiers one day. Christ one day will say to those faithful servants of his, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And every single one of us that have been saved for any length of time at all, we want to hear those words one day by our Savior, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But my dear friend, may we all be reminded, you and I will not hear those words one day if we have not done well for our Savior. And we find that Joshua he is praising them in four specific areas. Joshua is praising them for their performance concerning their conformity to Moses, their compliance to him, their commitment to their brethren, and their consecration to God. And after verse number 4 of our text verse, after praising the soldiers of the eastern tribes, Joshua then gave them their official release from the military and tells these soldiers to go back home to your families and get unto your tents. And when Joshua counseled these soldiers to get into their tents, he was exhorting them to go back home to their families. Joshua was supporting the home and the family. Joshua was exalting the place in the importance of the home. May we all be reminded this morning that, my dear friend, every single one of us, we must respect the home or we promote problems in every facet of our society. Destroy the home and we destroy the nation and the church. I believe with all my heart this morning, as I've been able to have the privilege of preaching in this place many times, that, my dear friend, I believe that I'm preaching in a very strong church today, but may we all be reminded that Maranatha Baptist Church is only as strong as the families that represent this church. Give us good homes and we strengthen the nation and the church. One said it like this: the strength of a nation derives from the integrity of the home. Society will eventually crumble to a cruel condition when the home is despised. And we're definitely seeing that come to pass in the nation that we live in today. As Hollywood babysits our children, even in public schools across this land, some have opened up the door for drag queen story time in the classroom. In many many states across our land, the wicked politicians have more say-so in a child's life than the parent does. And transgender agenda is being shoved down our throats every time we turn our heads. Can I say every bit of that is an abomination unto God? And my dear friend, we don't need to only worship God in the church house, but God needs to be the foundation of our homes. Home, sweet home. When Joshua dismisses these soldiers from their military duty and he sends them back home, we find that Joshua gives these soldiers some counsel and some instruction about personal conduct within the home. This counsel consisted of some rules of righteousness for their life. These things that Joshua was about to give them, these were commands, these were orders, these were rules, these were instructions in how they should act and how they should respond within their home. These rules of righteousness had to do with the law of God, their love for God, their loyalty to God, and their labor for God. These laws that Joshua gives them in verse number 5, we can find many of these laws within the book of Deuteronomy. And we find that these soldiers here in Joshua chapter 22, they have faithfully followed all of their military commandments and great victories have been won. And enemies had been defeated because they obeyed the commandments that were given by Moses. Now, in verse number 5, Joshua shares some basic steps to these soldiers about being faithful to their God as they return back to their family. And I believe with all my heart, my dear friend, these 5 simple truths that Joshua gives these soldiers to obey within their homes, if you and I would find out what it is to apply these to our homes. We don't have to just have heaven on earth in the church house, but my dear friend, we can have heaven on earth in our house, and we can know what it is to have a home sweet home. Can I say, my dear friend, I don't know what it is to have a home sweet home, but I'm thankful that I've got a book that has the answers to have a home sweet home. Let's look at these 5 things very quickly this morning. How many of you want home sweet home? Amen. How many of you want to be like the honeymooners? Amen. I don't want that at all. I want to know what you gray hairs know what I'm talking about on that as well. Amen. Look at home sweet home. Let's get back to the Word of God right here, verse number 5. Look what he said. Look what Joshua said. He said, but take diligent heed. In other words, put much emphasis on what I'm about to tell you. Take diligent heed means to don't be negligent in what I'm about to tell you. He means to be constant in effort, not just on a weekly basis, not just every 30 days, not when we're about to head to divorce court, but day by day by day, take diligent heed in what I'm about to tell you. To do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. Number 1, to love the Lord your God. Can I say, first of all, if we're going to have a home sweet home, I call this our devotion. Our devotion. He says to love the Lord your God. You understand, the Bible commands every one of us as we read the pages of the Bible. It commands us 250 times throughout the Word of God to love the Lord. That's a commitment to our devotion. The Bible instructs us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 2, the Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. And my dear friend, what you and I focus on is what we come to love. That's why so many struggle with wrong affections or struggle with wrong affections because their devotion is wrong. Their focus is wrong. They're not focusing upon the Lord. The story is told about a cold, frigid region of Alberta, Canada. And it's an area where it's said that there is no snow or lush green grass that grows there all year long. And it's been asked the question, how in the world, in a cold, frigid region of Alberta, Canada, can it be where there is no snow and lush green grass grows there all year round? Well, the story is told about in 1939, there was an underground fire that broke out in the Canamine mine, and it was directly beneath that area, and the fire has never been put out. The fire is what keeps the grass green. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. My dear friend, may we all be reminded, love is a decision to never let the fire of love for God to die in our heart. And as our love for the Lord grows, our understanding of His infinite love for us grows, and the more that we love the one that first loved us, the more we're going to love our wives, the more we're going to love our families, and the more we'll know what it is to have a home sweet home. My wife has been asked this question many years as we've been traveling the country. They ask her, Miss Dallas, how in the world does Brother Dallas stay so excited and so fired up for God? And her answer has always been, and even to this day, she makes the statement, because my husband has never forgot where God saved him from. And my dear friend, I understand your testimony and your background may be different than mine, but may we all be reminded we were on our way to that place called hell, and because of God's love, he sent his son to die on the cross for our sin, and our foundation must be in the one that first loved us. Amen. I just finished working on a sermon. I just finished completing the sermon. I haven't even preached it publicly yet. And over there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 3, where the Bible says, endeavoring to keep the spirit of unity. And I titled the message, I posed a question in the title of this message. And here's the title, Just Unified or Living in Unity? Let me borrow your imagination. On June the 16th, 2007, I was unified in holy matrimony to Nikita Rose Faust. Well, we were unified in holy matrimony. We've been married now a little over 17 years. We've been unified in holy matrimony. But can I just be transparent with you today? Even though we've been unified in holy matrimony, we haven't always lived in unity. The very first year that Nikita and I were married, my wife, she cooks for our Bible college there in Lexington. She cooks for our youth camp during the summer. And I've told our preacher many a times, I said, Nikita learned what it was to make big meals way before she ever started working at the college. Amen. She's been making big meals for me ever since we've known each other. And so the very first year that we got married, I put on about 40 pounds. And after that first year, Brother Snow, she comes to me and she looks at me across the table as I'm eating a meal that she just made, and she said, Chris, she said, you need to lose some weight. She said, you're going on a diet. And I looked at her and I said, that's like the dope man dropping me off at rehab and said, you need to get sober, amen. I said, you're the one that made me like this. And so I took her advice and I started trying to eat right and I started trying to exercise. And I think after 3 weeks I gained about 7 pounds, amen. But anyway, but after about a year and a half or 2 years, I finally got serious about losing some weight and about eating right. And for about 3.5 years, Nikita and I, we lived in a 40-foot motorhome. That was our home. We traveled all across the country in that motorhome, and that was our home. But if you know anything about a motorhome or a travel trailer, you only have one couch inside that motorhome or that travel trailer. And one day while Nikita was out in town and she was shopping or doing something, I had the bright idea, the light bulb came on. I'm going to get serious about this losing weight thing. So I took the one couch that we had in that motorhome out of the motorhome and I put a treadmill in its place. And when Nikita got back home to the motorhome and she walked inside, let me ask you a question. Do you think when she saw that her couch was missing and there was a treadmill in its place, do you think for 1 second that we were in unity that day? Absolutely not, amen. And if you think that she was mad that day, you wait till the very next morning when she was still in bed and I turned that treadmill on, it felt like there was an earthquake going on in that 40-foot motorhome, amen. You understand, my dear friend, can I say as far as marriage is concerned, I don't want to be just unified because I have a marriage certificate. I want to live in unity with my wife. I want to know that her favorite flower is a sunflower. I want to know that her favorite color is purple. I want to know that the first thing that she wants me to do when I come back on the revival road is put my arms around her and let her know that I missed her. Can I also borrow your imagination as far as salvation is concerned? On August the 16th, 1998, I was unified back to God when I trusted His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as my Savior. But can I say, my dear friend, I don't want to have a welfare mentality when it comes to my salvation. I don't want to just receive the love of God. I want to love my God back. I want to know about the power of His resurrection. I want to know about the fellowship of His sufferings. I want to know about His holiness. I want to know how He did all those things that pleased the Father. My dear friend, our devotion must be in the one that has always been devoted to us. in order to have this home sweet home. Number one, devotion. Number two, it's right here. It's right here in black and white. Joshua gives it to us. He said, I'll tell you what you need to do in the home. He says, you need to love the Lord your God. And then number two, he says, and walk in all his ways. Not only our devotion, but I call this our direction. This is a commitment to our direction. May we determine by faith to go in the direction of God. I don't ever deserve to do this, but there's times when the Lord allows me to be able to preach in youth meetings. A teenager will come up to me after the youth meeting and said, Brother Dallas, will you sign my Bible? I don't deserve to do that. I shouldn't do that at all, but I'll sign their Bible and I'll put my life verse of Romans 10:13 beside it. And here in the last couple of years, I've been writing this statement, especially in young people's Bibles. I said, keep your eyes on Jesus and you will always go in the right direction. Can I say, I don't want to make decisions and say, I sure hope the Lord is going my way. I want to find out which way the Lord is going and I want to head in that direction. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. I want to go with God and as a result, God will go with me. My dear friend, in life and family, may we not make decisions without consulting and seeking the Lord. David said this in Psalm 56 and verse number 13, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. Psalm 119, verse number 45, the Bible says, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. The word of God reveals the will of God and the direction that God has for our lives. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse number 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Can I say, my dear friend, I don't know how to be a good Christian. I don't know how to be a good husband. I don't know how to be a good leader of my home. I don't know how to be a good church member. I don't know how to be a loyal friend. I don't know how to be a good steward of God's money outside the pages of this Bible and outside the ways of God. My ways will lead to defeat. My ways will lead to discouragement. My ways will lead to destruction. But God's ways will lead to victory. God's ways will lead to joy and fulfillment of life. I want to go in the direction of God. My dear friend, I want to keep my eyes on Jesus. And as a result, I'll always be going in the right direction. Not only devotion, not only direction, but number three, he says, and to keep his commandments. I call this our display. Our display. This is a step of our submission. Dear child of God, the greatest struggle that every one of us face does not come from this world or from Satan's attacks. Our greatest struggle that every single one of us have is with our flesh. And when we give into our flesh, we give into the sin that is on God's hate list, and it's that wicked sin of pride. And I'm thankful that one day old slewfoot Satan is going to get everything that he deserves. And one day he's going to be cast into hell forever and ever. But I believe too many times, when God's children commit sin in life, we give the devil a black eye when he doesn't deserve it. My dear friend, the reason that you give into sin and the reason that I give into sin, it's not Satan's fault. It's because we gave in to this old flesh. And the reason that so many homes in America are everything except heaven on earth is because of pride. And we decided, I'm going to go my way and I'm not really concerned about God's way. The Bible says that only by pride cometh contention. You mark it down. Any fight, any argument, any disagreement, pride was always a factor. It used to be said that in America as a whole, that the divorce rate in America was 50% amongst married couples. But now it's not just in America, but it is said as far as Christians are concerned throughout the entire world that 50% of those who fall under the lines of being being a Christian, 50% of marriages end up in divorce. You want me to tell you today why the divorce rate is so high even among Christians? I'll tell you why. Because the husband or the man of the home, he takes God off the throne and he puts himself on the throne. And the wife and the lady of the home takes God off of her throne and puts herself on the throne. And when the husband is on his throne and the wife is on her throne, there's going to be fussing and fighting and arguing. But my dear friend, if we'll take ourselves off the throne and put God back on the throne, the God of all peace will allow us to have a home, sweet home. Amen. I call this our display. Not only do we see devotion, not only do we see direction, not only do we see our display, but look what the Bible says. And to cleave unto Him. I call this our dependence. Our dependence. That word cleave means to cling to or to hold fast. This is a step of dependence. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We are to depend upon God by faith. And child of God, can we all be reminded today it is displeasing to our Heavenly Father when His children do not have faith in Him? But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You ever watched an infant learning how to walk? And that they take little baby steps holding so tightly to mom and daddy's hand. But after a short period of time, that child no longer wants help from mama or daddy. And as humans, we love to see ourselves as independent and self-sufficient. Yet our Heavenly Father wants us to have every minute dependence upon Him. And can I say this morning that none of us can help physically growing and maturing, but spiritually speaking, I don't ever want to grow out of the infant childlike faith and complete dependence upon my Heavenly Father. My wife is in Northwest Mississippi in Tunica. Don't worry, she's not at the casinos. Amen. She's visiting a 94-year-old grandmother. And it's like clockwork every Tuesday night, from about 7 p.m. to about 10 p.m. She has a 3-hour talk with her grandmother, and it never fails. Every Tuesday, I try to call, and she loves me with all her heart. But I think she might love her grandmother a little bit more than she does me because she don't answer my call. I'm just kidding. She does. She'll finally say, "What do you need?" She said, "I'm talking to my grandmother." But anyway, so she's there with her right now. And yesterday when I landed in Memphis, I came from, where was I at Thursday? I was in Kansas. And Nikita picked me up at the airport and we spent a couple of hours together, and her and I are about to make a major decision in life, and we're looking forward to that. And I'll just be completely honest with you, as we were sitting just eating a meal, I just began to say, I don't know about this, and I don't know about that, and I don't know about this. And Nikita quickly reminded me. She said, "Chris," she said, "for these last 17 years, you've traveled the country," and she said, you've stayed on your knees and lived a life of faith. And she said, "The same God that has taken care of this and taken care of that for these last 17 years is the same God that wants you to depend." She says this. She's preaching to me, so I'm preaching you her message today. She said, "The same God that you've depended on these last 17 years and the same God that has gotten you through for these last 17 years is the same God that will get you through today as well." Amen. And dear child of God, that's the way that God desires for us to approach Him, for us to realize that He is our Father and we are His child, and to cleave unto Him, and He'll take care of us along this journey called life. Home sweet home. Not only do we see our devotion, it says, Joshua says, to love the Lord your God. Not only do we see our direction, he says, to walk in all His ways. And then he says, to keep His commandments. We see that as display. And to cleave unto Him, we call that our dependence. And then lastly, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. I call this our duty. This is a test of our priorities. It's a challenge for any of us to serve the Lord with all our beings. But serving God is not a position that we feel, but it's a priority that we must follow. Serving Him is the priority of ministering to others for His glory. In every single one of us, we have the same amount of time in a day and in a week. But so many times we get the mindset and we get the frame of mind that we want everybody else to serve us. But my dear friend, that was not the Savior's mentality. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, verse number 45, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And perhaps I've used the illustration before that in life, man is trying to climb up the ladder of success, and maybe the first rung is they graduate high school, then they graduate college, and then they get a good paying job, and they buy a house, and they get married, and they begin to have children, and they're climbing up the ladder of success. But my dear friend, that's not the Savior's response to this old wicked world. He was at the top, my dear friend. He was in the very portals of heaven, and He came to a sin-cursed world, and in Him was no sin. And He made Himself of no reputation, and He took upon Him the form of a servant. And my dear friend, maybe it's not a matter of how high we get up the ladder. Maybe we ought to come down the ladder and serve others. Amen. It's been said like this: the family that serves together stays together. Amen. And the most happiest times that my wife and I had in our life is not serving each other as a married couple, but serving others, my dear friend, and pouring our life into others. It's been said like this in poetry: had I but one day to live, one day to love, one day to give, one day to work and watch and raise my voice to God in joyous praise, one day to succor those in need, pour healing balm on hearts that bleed, or wipe the tears from sorrow's face and hearten those in sad disgrace. I'd spend, O God, much time with Thee that Thou mightst plan my day for me. Most earnestly I'd seek to know the way that Thou wouldst have me go. For Thou alone can see my heart. Thou knowest man's most inward part. Dear friend, aren't you thankful for that place that God has given every single one of us called home? And I don't want to just have a heaven on earth at church. I want to taste a little bit of heaven on earth in that home. Amen. Home sweet home. Stand with me if you would across the building. Stand with me if you would across the building. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm not going to ask you a specific question about your home. But I wonder today, could this be the invitation? If you have your family sitting in church today, maybe you have maybe your wife and children are with you, maybe just you and your wife, maybe it's just you and a child this morning. If you don't have a blood relative here this morning, if you're saved by the grace of God, you are a part of the family of God. And today, why don't we, as Miss Page would begin to play here in just a moment, if we have our families with us in church today, you're saved by the grace of God, you know heaven is your home, maybe she would begin to play here in just a moment, we would just come to this old-fashioned altar and we would just, if anything, just praise the Lord. Lord, I sure am thankful that I've got my family in church. I'm thankful that my wife or my husband is here with me. I'm thankful that my children are here in church with me instead of in some rehab or locked up in jail. Lord, I'm thankful that I know where they're at the house of God. And Lord, I thank You for that place that we get to call home. Maybe today some have been guilty of not allowing God to be the foundation of their home. Maybe we would make that commitment to God. God, my devotion and my focus has been all out of whack. And Lord, I'm prepared today and I'm ready because of the preaching of the Word of God to put my eyes back on You and allow You to be the devotion and the foundation of our home. Maybe there's somebody in the sound of my voice today. You do not know that if today were the last day that you were to live here on earth, you do not know if your home would be heaven one day. If that's you today, why don't you come forward? Let one of us take a Bible and show you how you can know for 100% sure, without a shadow of a doubt, no ifs, ands, and buts about it, that that sweet place called heaven could be your home one day. As she begins to play, if God has spoken to your heart this morning, won't you just step out right where you're at? Why don't we come and bend the knee before